Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, something you'd like to talk about, a topic you'd like to pose, well, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley, welcome to the microphones as well today. Glad to have you here with us.
Yeah, great to be with you, Bob.
Well, here at the beginning of the program, I want to address a couple of callers that left messages on my voicemail overnight, and it was in response to a question that we took yesterday, and the question was on homosexuality. And so I gave an answer that talked about what the real need is for anyone, and that need is life. We all come into this world dead spiritually. We manifest that spiritual death in many different ways. Sexual immorality is one of those ways that we manifest spiritual death. So the solution is not to quit doing the thing that you were doing, not to quit sinning. The solution is to receive new life in Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the real issue. And then once a person is made alive together with Christ, once Christ has come to live inside of that person, then transformation and change can take place. So to address a topic like homosexuality, any of the other hot topics that are out there on the cultural menu today, we as believers need to address those as ministers of the new covenant. That is so vitally important. If we address these particular issues as ministers of the letter or ministers of the law, we're going to be sending a wrong message out there, not a message of hope, but one of condemnation and death. So Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and he's talking about God who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So every day on Basic Gospel, and Andrew, you do the same through Andrew Farley Ministries and your live radio broadcast. We are coming to these microphones as ministers of the new covenant. And that's vital to understand, and that's vital for you, our listeners, to understand, to know the perspective that we're coming from. Isn't that, Andrew?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely, Bob. You know, we're not into behavior improvement, but we see that the issue is life. And then from the life of Christ, behavior improves, attitudes improve. Mindsets change. So we don't want to get the cart before the horse. We want to make sure that we're explaining the gospel clearly. And I love how you've put it, because, you know, we're putting the life, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ front and center. He is to take center stage and to be spotlighted. So, you know, whether the issue were homosexuality or any other thing out there under the sun, a sin of any kind, or perhaps something related to gossip or having a critical spirit or anything, it wouldn't matter what it is. The reality is the solution is not going to be self-improvement. The solution is going to be resurrection life in us. So I'm with you, my friend. I think it's so important to distinguish between lifeless religion that is all about modification of our conduct, and instead to really foster this dependency, this ongoing trust in Jesus living in us and expressing himself through us, so that, you know, next time we're sitting on a park bench and we're talking with someone who's an unbeliever, we're not going to bark out a bunch of marching orders telling them how to act differently and think differently. Instead, we're going to invite them to experience resurrection life. And that's the message. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when it comes to sexual immorality, the Bible is very clear that that, along with a whole list of other things, is sin. They are sins. And they're sins because they go against the way God has designed mankind to be, has designed these things to be enacted. So as far as sex is concerned, God invented sex. That's not something that man invented. That was something God invented that he brought about in creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, and he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's the sexual act between man and woman. But then sin entered the picture. Satan deceived Eve. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we have been trying to figure out what's right and what's good and what's wrong and what's evil through our own understanding. And so certainly sexual immorality has entered the picture. And we see how this is unfolded in various places in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 18, we see some clear directives to the people of Israel. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Well, what's the context of that? Well, they had just been released from Egypt. They were about to go into the promised land. And so God wanted to maintain their distinctiveness, their separateness from the way of the world. So he gives all of these directives in a context. And the context is this, that you shall not do as they do in Egypt, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan. So God has called out a people that were distinct unto himself. And so he was laying down some things, and he says, I don't want you to be like those folks that you have just been set free from, and I don't want you to be like the people that you're going to meet in Canaan. I want you to be distinctly my people. And then he says the same thing in Leviticus 20. In Romans chapter 1, we see some very direct information about homosexual activity, but again, the context is that man has exchanged the truth of God for a lie, that man has decided to worship the creation rather than the Creator. And so God is giving man up to go out and gratify those desires and to feel the full consequence of what those desires will bring. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see this, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But he doesn't end the sentence there. He continues the thought, and he says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul is just explaining the mission of Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to save sinners. I was a sinner, you were a sinner, all of us come into this world sinners by nature, dead spiritually. And Jesus Christ came to reach out to us and to give us life, to wash us, to cleanse us, so that we could be his distinct people. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So God doesn't want us to suffer the consequences of these choices that we make, of these fleshly desires that we have. He wants us to experience freedom. He wants us to experience life as he designed it to be. And then in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, we read this. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Yeah. So the law was laid down to show us our sinfulness, to show us how far we've missed the mark by trying to figure out life through our own understanding, by trying to be all that we think we're supposed to be through human effort. The law was laid down for us so that we will finally see our true need, our true problem, so that we can turn to Christ for the answer. So as we started this discussion, we started it with being ministers of the new covenant, not ministers of the law that condemn and judge and leave people in a hopeless condition, but ministers of the new covenant, a covenant that offers life and hope to anyone who receives Jesus Christ. Well, in that same argument that Paul is making in 2 Corinthians, he concludes it with this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So God has already condemned sin and sinful man. There was an act 2,000 years ago where that condemnation was poured out, and it was at the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of what Christ has done, it liberates us to be able to see people as God sees them and offer the very life and forgiveness and mercy and grace that God has provided in the person of Jesus Christ. Is homosexuality, is sexual immorality a sin? The Bible is very clear. We don't have to wonder what the Bible says about that. But we're all sinners. We were all sinners. And we can be justified freely by the grace of God. That is the good news. God is not counting men's sins against them. As believers in Christ, we should not count men's sins against them. We should recognize what the real issue is. That is spiritual death. And we should offer the very life of Jesus that can come in. And when somebody receives the life of Jesus, they die in Christ. They are buried, baptized into his death. They are buried with Christ, and they are raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what makes people different. Not that we've quit doing all of the sins, but the fact that we've been made alive in Jesus, and that Jesus lives in us. And if Jesus is alive and living in a person, there is unbelievable hope for that person. And that grace that is active in their lives is going to teach them how to renounce those desires of the flesh and to live holy, righteous, upright lives in this present generation.
We need to re-pour that and bottle it, man. That's good. That is very
well,
good.
I hope that clarifies the issue. And we, as I said to a gentleman I talked to today on the phone, we want to be as clear as we possibly can, not only in recognizing the problem, but offering the solution in Jesus Christ.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we're glad that you're here. And I want to say that we appreciate every one of you, our listeners and friends, who have stepped up to support this ministry. Without your ongoing love and support, we would not be here every day with this good news. But God is faithful to work through you, his people, and so many of you have been faithful to his guidance and your giving to help us proclaim the fullness of his love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to every one of you, we say thank you. Well, guys, we had this call that came in overnight. Very interesting call from Richard. Let's listen.
Hello, my name is Richard. My question is about, you know, you say don't be legalistic and stuff, but, you know, and I understand grace, but the thing is, what, you know, there are some rules. I mean, Jesus said, you know, don't defile your body, and that's, you know, where I feel guilty. I still smoke. I'd like to quit, but it's not that easy. I think there's a lot of Christians that are pretty cold when they go to church, and they're just kind of like, how are you? And I don't know, you don't really fit in. That doesn't make you want to go to churches. There are some things, you know, obviously you're not supposed to do. So I don't know what you mean by legalism and you know, not putting yourself in jail and becoming judgmental and stuff. Because, I mean, it's not like there aren't any rules, right? So I don't know. Anyway.
Hey, Andrew, let me set this up for you, and then I want you to run with this. Yesterday, we read the verse in Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Don't put yourself back under a yoke of slavery. And so I gave an illustration that that God's just blasted us out of that jail cell that we once lived in as lost people. And we so often in our choices decide to go back into that jail cell. And God is saying, that's not why I set you free. I want you to be out there in those wide open spaces where you can genuinely trust me and allow me to live my life through you. So that was the question that we got yesterday, and Richard's call is in response to it. So run with that for a little bit. Address what he's talking about and give him some hope, and anyone out there else listening, some real hope about what this grace of God can actually do in a person's life.
Yeah, you know, Colossians 2 warns against making our relationship with Christ about rules. It says that rules like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, these rules have the appearance of wisdom. They look good, they smell good, they sound religious. But Paul goes on to say that they lack any value in restraining sin. So it's very tempting for me to look at Christianity as a bunch of rules, as a bunch of restrictions, do not do this, do not do that. But, you know, God has already warned against those things, saying that they will not restrain sin. In fact, we find that when we take a law-oriented approach, the Bible says the law came in so that sin might increase, not decrease, but increase. You think about Paul's best attempt at stopping his coveting. Well, he was under the law, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not covet. And as a result of that, guys, he ended up with coveting of every kind. So when you're under a rule-based system or you're under a law-based system, you're going to end up with sinning of every kind. And then, you know, God's recommendation is that apart from the law, sin is dead. So that's not very intuitive to us. We want to employ rules and laws, but God is saying apart from the law, sin is dead. So do you want victory over sin? Well, you're only going to find it under God's grace, not under the law. So, you know, I'm reminded of my trip around the Indy 500 track. Well, when I was a young man, I was out on America's highways all the time, and I got speeding ticket after speeding ticket, eventually a reckless driving ticket because I was driving way too fast. I was hitting speeds of 150 miles an hour and more as a teenager, and I had no business driving like that. Well, you know, 10 years later, fast forward to 10 years, and my dad gets me an opportunity to go out on the Indy 500 track. And before I get out there, they say, well, now, Mr. Farley, you can get out there and go as fast as you want. Just follow that pace car. When the pace car increases in speed, you can increase in speed. So do whatever you want out there. You've got three laps. Have fun. Well, you know, there were people out there logging speeds of 160, 170 miles an hour. And guys, I got out there with no rules, no laws. And once I got to about 130 or 132, the weirdest thing happened. I started thinking safe thoughts. I started thinking, I got to be careful. I may wreck this car. That's a lot of damage to me and the vehicle. So I'm going to kick back at 132. And just enjoy the ride. Well, to me, that's a picture of what it means to live in freedom, and in that freedom to make sound-minded choices. When the law told me I couldn't speed, it only increased my speed. And then, under a situation of grace, I started employing my mind a little bit and started thinking about what is profitable here. It may be permissible, but what is profitable? And, you know, that is what an attitude of maturity is when it comes to sinful living. We start discovering sin is not going to profit me, sin is not going to benefit me, and we get our mind renewed to the truth of God's word and the truth of what is healthy for us now that we've got this new heart, this new spirit, and God's spirit living in us, and we're dead to sin and alive to God.
Well, let me ask this. One of the things, Andrew, that Richard was saying there is that when he went to church, he felt like he had these peering eyes at him, and you know, he didn't feel accepted or wanted or that he belonged in that particular group. And so that really kind of leads to a definition of legalism, trying to live up to a standard in order to gain acceptance or admission into a certain group of people. That's the legalistic mindset. It's a law-based mentality. And certainly Richard was feeling that at the church. How does he overcome that feeling of not belonging in particular churches and in projecting, probably not feeling that he really belongs to God?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we have to recognize why is it that we belong, and we are who we are because of our new birth. I mean, even as an unbeliever, as we were discussing earlier in the broadcast, Bob, you were talking about how the issue is death and life. Well, that's because we are who we are by birth. So I was born a sinner. Well, that's why Jesus said I had to be born again. So why is this relevant? Well, that's why I belong. I belong because of my new birth. I belong because of the gift of righteousness. I belong because I've been adopted by the King. I belong because Jesus qualified me by his blood and by his resurrection. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born all over again at the core of my being. So my belongedness, if you will, is not tied to my behavior. And now I know that there are a lot of humans out there that may treat me that way. Maybe even church people treat me that way. Maybe other Christians treat me that way. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is to go back and take every thought captive to the truth. And what is the truth? I belong. I am qualified. I am right with God because of Jesus. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm blameless. I'm holy. I belong to God. I am a person of God's own possession. And to know that and to be reminded of that, because I'll forget it. I'll go back to a legalistic mindset. I'll become a people pleaser for a little while. I'm worried about the crowd and what they think, and so I perform to try to impress them. But guys, that's temporary. And then, you know, we come to our senses again and we say, Lord Jesus Christ, I belong to you. And I am righteous because of you, and I fit in your kingdom because of you. You are my life. You are my qualification. You are my everything. That's the truth that'll set us free every single time.
Well, Andrew, thanks so much for those keen insights. Two resources that I want to point you to, our listeners. First, my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It will take you deeper into these truths. Also, a book by Andrew Farley, God Without Religion, both available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net.
And friends, as I said earlier, thank you for your faithful giving to support Basic Gospel. Giving with your prayers and with your gifts, we appreciate so much your support. And Thank you for your love for this message that you hear every day on this broadcast. Remember also that if you have a question about anything you've heard on the broadcast, call 844-322-2742. That number is available 24 hours a day, and we would love to hear from you. We always love hearing from you, our listeners. So again, 844-322-2742, available anytime. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.